Good morning, family. It is a wonderful Sunday morning. It's a day in which we all gather together virtually in our homes, and we are connected right now during the service. And we want you all to just connect to heaven today, to the heart of the Father, and make a decision today after this service to get closer to God, and to do much more than what you're doing now for the kingdom of God. Start to increase and intensify in your prayer life, and start to study the word with greater intensity and zeal and desire. This all is so important in building up your spiritual life. Well, it's a great honor this morning just to greet you and say how important you are to Mama Val and myself. I'm sure shortly we will start to get together, God willing, and we look really, really looking forward to our corporate gathering again, and so that we could connect with one another, encourage one another, and also invest into one another. It has become so apparent and so evident that family is so important during this time, and the church cannot be just an institution, but it has to be a family. It has to be a family that puts us together, builds us together, so that we can grow together. And this is essential even in the last days that we are living in. Last week, I spoke about responsible earthly fathers. And that teaching told us how important it is that we as fathers, as husbands, don't just remain as male figures, but we ought to become responsible fathers. The seed is in the man and not in the woman. The woman provides a womb, the man provides a seed, and the seed then causes the man to be a progenitor. And he provides security, he provides protection, he provides all the necessary stuff for his wife and his children. And we came to the conclusion that not only the children need fathering, but one's wife needs also fathering. And it's a great responsibility to be a father and know how to father your family into the destiny that God has for them. Today I want to speak about the fatherhood of God, or the paternity of God. And this is so important to understand who Father is. Nothing spiritual operates outside the fatherhood of God. And if you are not acquainted with the fatherhood of God, if you don't know who Father is, it means that you still have not acquired your identity. You don't know who Father is. You still have identity problem. You still are an orphan. That's why it's so essential now, when all the natural resources are drying up, that you get to know Father God and how important He is in our lives. And you can only get to know Him through revelation. And I want to show you that through this teaching this morning. I want you to consider this as a teaching. Don't just be bored with information, but take out your pen, your notepads, and write out some important stuff. It is so important that you do this and then use this teaching to wash yourself daily until you have a revelation of who God is to you. It's inexhaustive to know God. There's so many facets to know Him. You can know Him as Jehovah Jireh, the provider. You can know Him as Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. You can know Him as Jehovah Shammah, our peace. All those different names of God tells us what He's responsible in doing, or what He's capable of doing. But more than all those names, He loves to be known as Father. That's why He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, not only to redeem us from our sins, but to restore us into the family of God. So won't you just pray with me right now before we start this teaching, so that you and I are captured by the Holy Spirit and no distracting force or spirit will rob us of the opportunity of listening to this teaching. And you know something, beloved? Grace is locked up in the one that brings grain to you. So don't put off this teaching to Monday night or Tuesday night or Wednesday. I know some of you are doing that, or even tonight. We all are going to draw principles this morning, Sunday morning, like we'll be going to church. And yes, every single one of us, and God watches us this moment. So let us all just be obedient and tune in right now and follow the full service and allow God to touch you. Father, this morning, this beautiful Sunday morning, we approach your throne room. So glad, Lord, that you are our daddy, that you are our father. And Lord, Father, this morning, we want to know more of you. We want to know you. We want to be acquainted with you. We want to develop intimacy with you. Help us and capture us during this teaching, that you will guide us in becoming all that you want us to be. Now capture our thoughts, our attention. And Lord, Father, help us today not to be distracted, to be restless, but we'll be studious. We'll be scholars of the word this morning as we gather important principles and facts that will drive us towards the finish. Amen. Amen. The fatherhood of God. There are so many pagan systems of Christianity which enslave children of God. And these avoid us as children of God from enjoying the true essence and the benefit of freedom in Christ Jesus. They are traditional, they are philosophical, they are humanistic ideals that are either contradictory or foreign to the divine principles preserved in the heart of Abba Father. It is therefore needful that a clarion call goes out for the restoration and reconstitution of the predetermined intent of Abba Father. That is, He is Father and I am His Son. The revelation of seeing Him as Father is not new. What we need is illumination of this revelation already written in scriptures. In Daniel chapter 12 verse 9, we learn that some things are rolled up and kept away as a secret and sealed until a set time. In this end time, it is of paramount importance for the benefit of your entire family that you receive divine knowledge of truth that God is your Father and you are His Son. In Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, we are told that God's people, not the devil's sons, but God's people are destroyed. They are ruined. They are obliterated. They are wiped out because of God's people rejecting, discarding, abandoning, disregarding, refusing knowledge of the word of God that comes through preaching and instruction. God's response to this is twofold, and you can read that in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. He said he will reject such a person from enjoying a priestly relationship with him. In other words, such an individual is sadly cut off from the all-important lifeline of God. When this happens, that individual or that corporate priesthood is rendered illegitimate. Activity will go on in an individual or a family or a local church, but God is not in those transactions. Secondly, the most tragic is a warning by God that He will forget that individual's children or the folk in that local church. Let us consider how many of our own children are on this road of destruction because we are playing games with Abba Father, or we think that we can deceive Him and get away. Beloved, whether your child is 1 year old or 12 years old or 18 years old, that child can become a victim of your foolishness and eventually be lost. This is how a child becomes a spiritual orphan. Now we need to address seriously these two responses of God by developing an immediate love for the Word of God. I want to leave that for you to address. This plea comes with my great concern and love for you and for your precious family. Talking about culture. Culture is a foundation of our identity, individually and as members of society. Culture dictates how each person defines his or herself. Today, the dominant global culture is that of fatherlessness. Now, you all have been briefed on this and addressed on this. The problem why this world is in a chaotic state, in a sick state, in a corrupt state, it's because of the sin of fatherlessness. Our country is a beautiful country, but it is in a mess because God wants not just a president or a leader of a country, he wants someone to father the nations. This culture is a subtle and a pervasive one that teaches people to think like orphans. It leaves the orphan defenseless in his or her own mind. An orphan has no protection and no provision other than what he or she can create for himself or herself, and must struggle for survival by whatever means necessary. You know, beloved, today's fatherless culture directly conflicts with the culture of the kingdom of God. Whereas a fatherless culture produced orphans, God created man to be his children and heirs to his kingdom. The culture of the kingdom of God is that of a house. The house of God is the family of God. Therefore, when the Lord said, when the Bible says, and Jesus is saying in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions, he is saying that you and I as sons are mansions in his house or in his family. The kingdom of God is the base of authority and rule that empowers his family or his house. The kingdom exists to support the children of God in their mandate to represent the nature and character of God himself. It is designed to restore the original intent of God for the creation of man, and in the process to rescue humankind from the culture of the orphan. The house of God is being revealed at this time to provide God's children with a righteous alternative to the earth's pervasive fatherless culture. In this teaching, my intention is not to elaborate on the orphan spirit or the spirit of sonship, but rather to highlight the divine paternity and fatherhood of God. Unfortunately, believers corporately are not going to see him as Abba Father, then the cure or the curse of fatherlessness in the earth will persistently continue and dictate to the erosion of family. Religion will then eclipse the very intention of God. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. I will paraphrase this. If the model of father and son is not restored by a reconciliation produced by repentance, then the curse of fatherlessness will bring about complete destruction on the earth. This restoration must be authentic and it must be administered from the heart. In these last days, God's scrutiny and God's judgment is taking place where? In our hearts. You can read that in Proverbs chapter 16 verse 2 and 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean and innocent in his own eyes, and he may see nothing wrong with his actions. But the Lord weighs and examines the motives and the intents of the heart and knows the truth. Only God knows the truth about you, your behavior, patterns in your life, hidden things in your life, things not confessed, dark areas of your life, unscriptural or unspiritual matters in your life. God knows the truth. You must come to that conclusion right now. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, when Samuel went to anoint David, do not look at the appearance of the brother's physical stature, because I have refused him. Talking about Eliab, Jesse's eldest son, David's eldest brother. For the Lord does not see a man as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Many of us may not be able to see into the heart, but let me rest assured, God can look into the heart. That's where the issues of life are. That is where you give freely to God from. That is where you appreciate grace. That is from where you love others. It's not from your lips, but everything starts from your heart. Now, after this announcement in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, by the prophet Malachi, concerning the spirit of Elijah, the spirit of a father that will come to connect fathers and sons together, there were 400 years of intertestamental silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. During this time, from Malachi to Christ, the people of Israel lived under six different governments. Six is a number for man, carnality, and humanistic ideals. These six were the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Ptolemies of Egypt, the Seleucids of Syria, the self-rule under the Maccabees, and the Roman rule from 63 BC to AD 135. The Old Testament closes with the spirit of Elijah spoken by the prophet Malachi, and the New Testament opens with the spirit of Elijah, now resident in John the Baptist, whose first message as a forerunner of Jesus is on repentance. Jesus commences his ministry with his first sermon on repentance. Repentance means change of your mind and change of your heart. You have to detox from the old paradigm. Everything of how you, everything in your life that told you that you were right with God, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to re-examine. If you only saw God as God, you have to shift from that paradigm. If religion had you gripped, you have to get out of that place. Jesus is going to reveal not just Yahweh, but now is going to reveal Abba. Jesus is going to model sonship as a son of man and the son of God. Jesus is going to introduce the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus is going to be seen as a highly controversial character, telling his audience that he is the son of God and God is his father, to which the Jews attempted to kill him, for they could not accept that a human being could be a son to heavenly father. They were blinded by religion. And Jesus came to introduce the relationship of father and son. And today, you and I can be part of that beautiful relationship. We don't have to be slaves to a religious system. We are part of a relationship with Abba Father. According to Paul's theology, this is regarded as our Christology. The most profound aspect, beloved, of the character of God is that of Father. God as Father expresses completely his nature of love. Hallelujah. The love of God is inseparable from its expression as Father, and the nature of Father is inseparable from the character of love, particularly when fathering is by design. Although God always had in mind to put the majesty of his love on display, The depths of his love could not fully be displayed until he created a son in his own image and likeness. This process exists due to the nature of love. Love does not exist merely as a theory or a concept. For love to exist, it must be actualized. It must be expressed. It must even be tested. Love may be demonstrated in a variety of ways. In the kingdom of God, such demonstrations exist as forms of order and governance that benefit all who are within the kingdom. However, love is presented perfectly within the context of a father and his children, because that is the only form in which the nature of love, as defined by God's relationship to man, can be fully tested and therefore fully expressed. God's relationship to man as father to sons is neither accidental nor casual. It is a deliberate order and foreordained by God. God decided to create man as his son. Man was powerless to influence this decision in any way. You read that in Luke 3:38. Adam is the son of God. The love of God for man is a foundation for man's purpose in creation. When man separated himself from his father, his purpose in creation was lost. It is only by being reconciled to his father that he may regain the true purpose for being. The love of God should never be construed as the basis for permitting man to engage in reckless and dissolute behavior without consequences. By contrast, religious cultures tend to operate based on the presumption that the respective deity is distant from man and is unknowable. Some representations, even with the Christian faith, within the Christian faith, beloved, continue to view God through the common religious mindset, considering familiarity with God disrespectful and blasphemous. This point of view, however, is inconsistent with God's historic approach to man, as well as his present intent. That is to be a loving daddy to us, his redeemed sons. And he will bring that clearer in these last days. And I will show you how. At the center of the relationship between God and man is the Father. Human identity, purpose, and destiny are intimately tied up to an understanding of Father. In establishing this relationship as a keystone, it is God's purpose that the order of heaven to be replicated on the earth in the house of God. This is evidently clear in the model prayer of Jesus, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. Thy will be done on earth, replicated on earth, just as it is in heaven. So there is a model, a pattern, a template, a specimen of heaven that God wants to be displayed on the earth. Through who? Through you and I. We are the carriers of this template in us. You and I carry this. This world needs not more Christians to appear, needs more sons of God to appear. All of creation is waiting for the manifestation of sons of God to carry the spirit of Father back into the earth and reflect the Father. Do you know, beloved, when you're a true son of God, you carry the spirit of Father. That's why Jesus said, if you know me, the Son, you will know the Father. If the world knows you are a true son of God and I am a true son of God, they will get to know Heavenly Father. They don't want to know church. They don't want to know how many times you're going to services. They don't want to know when you were baptized. The world doesn't want to know how many times a day you pray. They don't want to know how much you give to the Lord. They want to see how much of Father is in you, the Son. Because when they look at you as a representative of God, they want to see the Father. Amen? So, revelation is the only way we get to know Heavenly Father. You can't get to know through reading of books or hearing others and their experiences. You must have your personal experience through revelation of who our Father is. I need a Father. This is the outcry of millions of people around the world. I need a Father. I need a Father. People are crying all over. I need a Father. I need a Father. For too long, I have been fatherless. Pastors have been fatherless. Ministries have been fatherless. Countries have been fatherless. Society has been fatherless. In fact, the whole globe is suffering from this curse of fatherlessness. Everyone is crying for a Father. And you know what? You and I at GMDS have come to know, maybe not in a great measure, but in a small way, in seed form, we've come to know how to relate to Heavenly Father. It has always been God's desire to extend His fatherhood or His paternity. During His ministry, Jesus always wanted His disciples to know His Heavenly Father. One of the greatest ministries of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Heavenly Father to those who are willing to know Him. This revelation was the outcry of the Apostle Paul for the church at Ephesus. In his prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, he prays that Father may give them the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation so that they may get to know Him as Father. He further prays that the eyes of that their understanding, which is their spiritual eyes, would be enlightened. This was also the cry of the Apostle John in 2 John 1:9. He said that they may abide in the Father and the Son. Both are one. In God we find everything that is both masculine and feminine because He is the fullness of both. Male and female were created in His image and likeness. However, He has chosen to express Himself as the headship through the role of the Father. God is three-dimensional. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Although the three are one, they reveal themselves in different ways and with different roles. And I'm praying that every one of you will register in the school of the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and to reveal to you who Father is, who the Son is, and together you will know Father and Son, and we will get to know Him so intimately that we will know how to connect with Him and stay there connected with Him. Hallelujah. In Aramaic, the word Abba is translated as daddy. It describes a son who cries out for his father while sitting on his lap. The word is used to express the close and intimate relationship between a father and a son. The other word pater, you're all acquainted with these two words, in the Greek comes from the Spanish word patria, which means father. Pater indicates respect towards authority in the family. Therefore, we learn about two great concepts concerning the father figure. One, the concept of intimacy, and two, the concept of reverence and respect. Let me repeat that. Two important things come out from this word Abba and from the word pater. The concept of intimacy and the concept of reverence and respect. We will see this appearing again when we talk about what is a spiritual father, because God is expecting sons, spiritual sons, to be intimate with a spiritual father. And secondly, to understand the concept of respect and honor. The word pater has many meanings that reveal each facet of God the Father towards His children. These include source, protector, one who provides nourishment, provider, progenitor, initiator, founder, author, creator, teacher, leader, cultivator, generator, transmitter, trainer, sustainer, patriarch, organizer, defender, one who carries the burden, stabilizer, endorser, encourager, governor, mentor, and role model. Each of these words signify and describe the qualities and functions that exist in our Heavenly Father. Moreover, He expects every man who is a father to follow His example as He leads His family. Therefore, to my family, as a biological father, as an earthly father, I must be source, I must be protector, I must be one who provides nourishment, I must be a provider, I must be a progenitor, I must be an initiator, I must be a founder, I must be an author, I must be a creator, I must be a teacher, I must be a leader, I must be a cultivator, I must be a generator, I must be a transmitter, I must be a trainer, I must be a sustainer, I must be a patriarchal father, I must be an organizer, I must be a defender, I must be one who carries the burden, I must stabilize a stabilizer to stabilize my family, I will endorse my family, I will encourage my family, I will be governor of my family, I will mentor my family, and therefore I'll be a role model over my family. This is a serious job to be a father, especially in these last days. Considering the fact that without knowledge of God, you will never connect with Him. Jesus was our example. He was a pattern son. He was our template. That's the reason why the Father said in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 that He, the Father, would not speak to us in any other way, whether antiquated or contemporary, but He will in the last days speak to us by the Son. You see, when He speaks to us by the Son or in the Son, He will reveal Himself as Father to us. He will only respond to the name of Jesus, the Son, the pattern Son. Every woman, and I know you women are listening to this message today. It's not only for the men to listen to this, but to every one of you. I really honor single mothers who are successfully raising their children with the spirit of Heavenly Father in them. They have got the spirit of adoption in them, and they are teaching their children, they are leading their children, and I respect every single mom who is doing the job of mentoring their children into divine destiny. Every woman longs for the qualities of father in her husband. We covered that last week. We will look at these shortly. Now, what is the revelation that we should have concerning the Father? Number one, the revelation that He is our Father, the revelation that He loves us, and the revelation that we are His children. Let me repeat that. If you get this into your notebooks, these three things that you write and you start working with them, working with the scriptures, studying the scriptures, searching the scriptures, finding the right scriptures, even trying to find some facts from me, I'm willing to help you. But these three things are so important. You must get a revelation of, through revelation, that He is your Father. You get a revelation that He loves you. And you get a revelation that you are His Son. You have to get these three in order to make this divine connection. The kingdom of God operates on the paternity of God, on the fatherhood of God. The kingdom of God responds brilliantly to one the moment that individual has a revelation of Father. I know this is difficult because Father is a spirit and you are human. That is why you need the relationship with the Holy Spirit by faith. He also is a spirit. You need the continuous washing with the word of truth until you can see clearly. You must be humble and teachable, beloved. You must be obedient to the will of Father, to the word that you are reading, studying, meditating upon. You must value what has been given to you. I want you from today, whether you like me or not, to start valuing the grace carrier in your life. Some of us have lost respect, or we have devalued the role of the one who represents Heavenly Father to you. I want you today to start valuing the input in your life, not just me as a man. Paul said, from today onwards, I see no man after the flesh. Don't see me after the flesh. See me and Mama Val as representatives from God, representing Father to you. You must be hungry for that revelation. He only reveals his mysteries to people who want to receive him. Matthew 13:11, Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed, like Father is revealed, his love is revealed, your sonship is revealed, then it belongs to us and to our children forever. How long? Forever. Now, our children will benefit once you start to receive this revelation that God is your Father. What happens when we receive the revelation of who God is? Write this down. What happens when we receive this revelation of who Father is? Number one, God the Father affirms our identity as his sons. You read that in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, 15 and 16. Number two, this revelation helps us to develop a close and intimate relationship with Father. You read that in Psalm 25, 14 and Proverbs 22, verse 4. Thirdly, it makes it easier for us to become true worshippers. John chapter 4, verse 23. And fourthly, it gives us a sense of satisfaction and completeness, this revelation of Father. And I'm desiring all of us in this house to come to this place of satisfaction and completeness, where we are so lighthearted, where we feel we can spontaneously go in and worship God, where we can forget simple things that easily beset us. We get so upset with simple things, those things we laugh at today, when you know your revelation of your Father. When you're an orphan, you are studying every small thing and allow it to trouble you, trouble those around you, affect your relationship. Come on, you can get away from this once you have a revelation that you have a Father. Remember these key principles for knowing God the Father. As the source, God the Father had everything in him before anything was. Everything that exists was in God. And now he's your Father. And everything is for you and I. We are heirs of the Father, joint heirs with Jesus. Secondly, God is a progenitor. He upholds and supports all that he created. He created you and I. Because he's our progenitor, he supports and he upholds us. Amen. Thirdly, sin is a result of the first man, Adam, turning his back on his Father. I pray to God that we won't live in the Adamic nature, but we will live with a Christocentric focus on our lives, the Father-Son model in our lives. Father, you are my Father. I'm your Son. Father, I love you. I thank you for your love in me. Come on, we got to live from the position called Christ. Salvation is a result of a man, Jesus, the second or the last Adam, providing us with a way to return to the Father. Jesus knew the Father and became the source and progenitor of a new race of fathers who know the Father through the Son. Fathers are progenitors. They birth generations after them that are like themselves and their forefathers. When a man is fathered by God, he produces godly fathers. Fathers are the source of instruction, source of information, and knowledge about God and the source. We learn how God disciplines, how God teaches, how God instructs, and acts through an earthly father who embodies the heavenly Father. I want to stop right there. Next, we will cover who is a spiritual father. Grace to you, beloved. Amen.